You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are celebrating 100 years of God's blessings on KFUO this week with special historic broadcasts.
In today's historic broadcast, the Reverend Carl R. Kretschmar reads the dedication address of KFUO from 1924 from his father, the Reverend Richard Kretschmar.
In the name and for the glory of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the only true and living God, ruling supreme in the heavens and on earth and in the air, who has given us in this radio station a wonderful medium for sending messages and music on the wings of the ether to all parts of our great country, perhaps even beyond. I now, in behalf of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri, Ohio, and other states, and in behalf of its board of control of this Concordia Theological Seminary, open this radio station, KFUO, a broadcasting station of the newest type and of full strength, erected by the Western Electric Company for this Lutheran seminary in St. Louis. I dedicate it to the use and purpose for which it has been built. This is done with a deep feeling of gratitude to our God, who is doing wonderful things and is giving us far-reaching means for the spreading of his eternal gospel truth, which he in the Bible has revealed for our salvation. On this occasion, we also wish to express our hearty thanks to all Christians who have given or pledged their contributions toward the erection and upkeep of this station, especially to the Walther League, the live and great organization of Lutheran Young People Societies, also to the Lutheran Publicity Organization of St. Louis, as well as to several members of the Lutheran Layman's League, all of whom have tendered or promised their generous support to this station. For 80 years, this Concordia Theological Seminary has trained ministers and missionaries of the gospel that were sent out to every section of our country and to distant parts of the globe, all of whom were solemnly pledged to proclaim nothing but the everlasting truths plainly and definitely set forth in the inspired and inerrant Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, for the salvation of sinful mankind through the only and all-sufficient sin-atoning sacrifice of our crucified and risen Redeemer. From this seminary, an unwavering testimony has also gone forth in numberless publications throughout the world for every Bible doctrine. May the same message and testimony through this station, KFUO, also be carried on the ways of the air to many thousands who will lend their ears, and may it bring salvation, joy, peace, and hope into many hearts and many homes. May the song and music coming through this medium from the air ever remind a great radio audience of the wonderful Christmas song of the heavenly hosts and of the celestial harmonies resounding from the skies from above the fields of Bethlehem. And may those strains everywhere on earth be re-echoed to the end of days. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
We are celebrating 100 years of God's blessings on KFUO this week with special historic broadcasts. We have more to share, including a historic sermon in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Only 750 of over 7,000 languages spoken in the world have the full Bible. Lutheran Bible Translators wants to help close the gap in this generation. We can do this with your help. Connect your congregation to the global church by hosting a Bible Translation Sunday, an advocacy event that raises awareness about Bible translation. Lutheran Bible Translators provides ready-to-use service elements, a sermon outline, and more. all designed to fit your church's schedule. Join the movement of Lutheran churches committed to bringing God's Word to every language. Visit lbt.org/bts to learn more and sign up for a Bible Translation Sunday. That's lbt.org/bts.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Today's historic broadcast comes from 1939, from April 23rd, the 100th anniversary of the Saxon landing in St. Louis, for a Lutheran Hour sermon preached by the then president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Dr. John W. Benkin.
And now we go back to 1939, April 23rd, the 100th anniversary of the Saxon landing in St. Louis, for a Lutheran Hour sermon preached by the then president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Dr. John W. Benkin.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, says St. Paul, Galatians 5, verse 1. According to immigration statistics, about 38,250,000 immigrants sought America as their adopted country since the year 1820. Certainly a goodly number of these, like unto the Pilgrim Fathers, fled from religious bondage and spiritual tyranny to find in this land of religious liberty a home where they might worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. We know positively that among them was a group of Lutherans who left Saxony a century ago because religious conditions over there had become unbearable. Reason had sought to dethrone revelation. Rationalistic church authorities resorted to severe intolerance and subjected Orthodox believers unto bitter persecution. They sacrificed country, home, relatives, possessions, and positions, and came to America to find liberty from bondage, and God used them and other Lutherans who had immigrated to America as instruments in his hands for the establishment of a sound Lutheran church in this country. The Lutheran church ever accepted the Bible as the verbally inspired word of God. There was a time in the history of the Christian church when this was universally accepted, so much so that the confessions of the church simply presupposed this fundamental truth. The Saxon pilgrims stood foursquare also for the cardinal biblical truth that a man is justified before God solely by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Rationalistic attacks were aimed especially at this central truth of Scripture. Paradoxical as it may sound, human reason is so unreasonable as to reject the very thing which God has revealed for man's eternal salvation. It is so blind as not to recognize the only thing which is beneficial for the soul. It is so foolish as to forsake the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and to return unto the yoke of bondage. The forgiveness of sin or justification before God by the merits of Christ's precious blood and by his vicarious death on Golgotha's cross is the most glorious liberty ever achieved from any yoke of bondage. We are accustomed to speak in most glowing terms of the precious liberty for which our American fathers fought and for which many brought the supreme sacrifice upon the altar of the nation and which they sealed for us with their life's blood. Our hearts beat with deepest gratitude to God for the precious liberty which we Americans enjoy. And yet all of this pales into insignificance when compared with the liberty which Christ obtained for us poor sinners. Our American liberty is civil liberty. It is earthly or temporal. The liberty procured by Jesus Christ on Calvary's crest is spiritual liberty. It brings freedom for the soul. Jesus Christ reached down into the cesspools of sin and vice, unto a people who were in abject slavery, unto poor victims who grappled hopelessly and helplessly to free themselves from the yoke of bondage. Unto miserable wretches, groaning under the unbearable burden of sin and guilt and the resultant righteous wrath of God. When our Redeemer was riveted to the accursed tree, he bore your sin and mine, the sin of the entire world, and made a full and complete atonement for all mankind. He paid the utmost farthing of the staggering debt of sin and thus accomplished our redemption. He endured everything which was necessary for a perfect reconciliation between the sinner and his God. He earned for us absolutely perfect freedom, great, glorious, marvelous liberty from the accusation of a guilty conscience and from the severe punishment of God's righteous wrath. Freedom and liberty before God. This can mean nothing else than that God is no longer angry with me on account of my sins, that he never will be angry, but that throughout eternity he will continue to be my good, gracious, and merciful Father. Oh, matchless and incomparable liberty. There is nothing like it anywhere. It was purchased and sealed by the holy, precious blood of the great God-man, Jesus Christ. When the colonial army fought the great battles that resulted in America's independence, it procured the precious pearl of political liberty for all Americans, but only for Americans. However, when Jesus Christ shed his holy blood, he reconciled the world unto God. Here are a few definite and specific statements of God's word to establish this beyond the shadow of a doubt. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's plain, unmistakable language. Absolutely every sinner on earth, without a single exception, irrespective of the horror of his guilt or the heinousness of his crime, has been reconciled unto God. The dying God-man procured perfect liberty for him. In and through the redemption which he wrought, God declared that the world's guilt is removed. The law of God can no longer accuse and condemn me. Christ met its every demand in my stead. Even death can no longer frighten me. Christ abolished it for me. It is now merely the doorway through which I pass to enter into eternal life. Like unto our glorious civil liberty in America, so also the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free has been made the target for vicious attacks. It is urgently necessary that we recall and re-emphasize the earnest warning. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Among the Galatians, there were such as sought to drag free men into bondage again. So-called Judaizers insisted that also Christians must submit to the Old Testament ordinance of circumcision. St. Paul recognized this as a sinister attack upon the central truth of Scripture and warned, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free." The little group of Lutheran pilgrims of a century ago surely recognized the sacred obligation of standing fast in the liberty. They insisted upon sound preaching based upon the Bible as the inerrant word of God and upon the correct administration of the blessed sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, according to Christ's institution. They were absolutely convinced that the word and the sacraments are the means of grace, whereby the Holy Spirit engenders and strengthens faith, and thus brings them to the enjoyment of that liberty which Christ procured for them. They fought valiantly, And one of the miracles of God's grace during the past century is that the synod which they helped to organize, a synod insisting upon sound scriptural doctrine and practice, a synod as conservative and straight-laced as the Bible, and on the other hand, as liberal and broad-minded as the Bible, has grown to such an extent that today, one out of every 100 American citizens is a member of our church body. Stand fast in the liberty applies with fullest emphasis today. Sinister forces are at work. Terrific attacks have been directed against the Bible. Spiritual termites have been doing their destructive work. Disguised enemies have been thrusting their poisonous darts into the very heart of the Christian religion. How many have discarded the verbal inspiration and the inerrancy of the Bible? How many refuse to accept the efficacy of the sacraments? How many have forsaken the cardinal truth of forgiveness solely through the vicarious suffering and death of Jesus Christ? How many ridicule the very thought of a blood-bought redemption? This is no time for complacency and inactivity. This is no time for sleeping and snoring, as Luther expressed it. Within recent months and weeks, we have been startled again by the horrible specter of war which is threatening the peace of the world. These alarming conditions should prompt every one of us to pray most earnestly and fervently that God in His grace might preserve peace for us. But far worse is the danger of losing that liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We dare not remain indifferent. When men attack the Bible, when they proclaim mere moral improvement instead of the regeneration of the heart, when even in the slightest degree they seek to find the cause of salvation in man's merit or behavior or character, instead of solely in the blood of Jesus Christ, they are seeking to rob us of true liberty and to fasten the yoke of bondage upon us. They are meddling with God's plan of salvation. They are interfering with a judicial act of God, for the justification of the sinner is a judicial act of God. This is not a trivial or insignificant matter. Eternal, divine principles are involved. And as far as man is concerned, it means either the preservation or the loss of true freedom. Either to stand fast in true liberty, or to be forced back under the yoke of the law, the bondage of sin, death, and the wrath of God. The greatest need of our day is positive preaching of the Christian religion. In a day when national boundaries are wiped out overnight, when ruthless, bloody battles rage, without even a declaration of war, when social, industrial, and economic unrest grips our heart and fills it with fear and consternation, when the disturbing problems of unemployment or hunger or destitution would strangle our hopes, we must not, because of worry and concern about these things, forget the most important thing of all, namely the precious liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and that perhaps permit it to slip away from us. Or again, when religious conditions are so topsy-turvy that many have asked whether Christianity is a failure, let the answer ring forth in unqualified language that such as have resorted to a preaching which aims merely at social or moral or civic improvement have failed utterly and have done irreparable harm. But on the other hand,
that genuine Christianity which clings firmly to true biblical preaching never has been a failure, is not now a failure, and never will be a failure. The greatest need of the hour is a clear, definite, specific, positive preaching of the true Christian religion, a preaching which has its eye fixed unswervingly upon the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. God has entrusted such preaching unto our Lutheran Church. We say it not in a spirit of boasting, for we are utterly unworthy of such a blessing and of such a trust. But we say it in a spirit of gratitude for God's grace and for the purpose of arousing within every heart a sense of the tremendous responsibility which rests upon us. We know, we positively know what we have. We must learn ever better to share it with others. For in this evil day of confused religious thinking, men must be given the opportunity to turn to our church to hear the true biblical message, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In this centennial year, our Lutheran Church is sounding a positive note of gratitude to God. Next Sunday,
and let especially the members of our church heed this, next Sunday and during the following weeks, an opportunity will be given to every member of our body to bring a real sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, that the gospel message may be preached unto ever more people. Let no member of our synod miss this opportunity to thank God. The cause of Christ, the cause of liberty, is surely worthy of our choicest efforts and the greatest sacrifices. A century ago, the little congregation of Saxons, consisting of 665 souls, brought a sacrifice of $81,000 for the cause of true liberty. What will our synod of 1,300,000 souls do at this time? May God graciously guide us. May he lead us to genuine gratitude. May he bless our efforts. Above all, may he rivet our attention upon the real obligation today to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Amen.
Again, by the relentless flow of time, we have come to that Sunday on which we interrupt our radio broadcasting until the fall. An unmistakable note of sadness overtakes us when we realize that this testimony to Christ, our only but ever blessed Savior, will be silenced until October. If only we had the free use of the radio that others enjoy, so that throughout the four seasons, Sunday after Sunday, we could call sinners to repentance and to faith in Christ's atoning love. Yet at the close of our sixth season of broadcasting, the dominant strain of our hearts is one of gladness and thanks to God for his immeasurable blessing. More notably than ever before has the divine benediction of his Spirit rested upon our efforts. As we raise our voices to express our gratitude to God for bringing many souls to Christ who never before knew their Savior, let me also, in behalf of the laymen associated with me in this nationwide gospel mission, thank you, every one of you, for your support. We are grateful for the letters from believers and unbelievers, from Catholics and Protestants, from the rich and cultured and strong, from the poor and unlettered and weak. I express publicly our indebtedness to you for your financial support, more generous than ever before. And particularly have your prayers been continued and fervent in our behalf.
The Lutheran Hour broadcast from April 23rd, 1939, the centennial of the Saxon landing in St. Louis. The preacher for this service was the Reverend Dr. John W. Behnken, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the announcer on this broadcast was the Reverend Dr. Walter A. Meyer.
Join us for more special programming on Saturday, December 14th, as we celebrate God's blessings of 100 years of KFUO. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.